Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to All Stats Aren't We, a podcast in which Leeds fans cast their combined eye over goings on at Elland Road, giving scrutiny to the underlying statistics and tactical footings at work at Leeds United. I'm Adam Elliott, the Ilya Gruev of the podcast. I might not be Bulgarian, but I am totally as puro sexo as he is. And I'm joined today by the cow stood in a field chewing grass of the podcast. Gee, I hope that shot from Joe Gerhardt, what, doesn't strike him. It's Martin Riley. Martin, how are you, mate?
I'm doing better than a cow being hit by a ball by Joe, that for sure. And I'm also probably doing a bit better than you, considering we're in for the FA Cup for another game. What are your views on that, actually? I don't know.
Look, I don't mind a cup run. I just think the circumstances need to be right. And I'm very much of the opinion that the Premier League and getting to it is more important. But at the same time, am I quite excited to have the possibility of a bit of a free hit against Aston Villa or Chelsea? Because that's what it'll be. Yeah, I am actually, because, you know, we don't have to take it too seriously in the sense of worrying about going through to the next round as much. We can just kind of play with a bit of freedom. And if we get battered, as a Premier League team that are going to have to beat us. If we don't and we go through, then we've caused a little bit of an upset. Maybe not a massive one, but considering where we are and, you know, the season that Chelsea are having, for example, if they go through. But yeah, it would be great. Just to let people know, at the time of recording, Aston Villa against Chelsea has not been played. So a lot of you listening will know what the outcome is and who we're playing, but for me and Martin, we don't actually know yet, so that's why I mentioned them both. I'm good, mate, thanks for asking. I'm still not over that commentator saying Gerhardt as many times as he did. For people that don't know, Yannick Gerhardt is a defensive midfielder, plays in the Bundesliga for VfL Wolfsburg. He's not the striker that plays Leeds United, and this co-commentator, who I don't know the name of, still haven't looked it up, kept getting us confused. And I assume he must have watched a lot of Bundesliga football because he was getting it mixed up a lot, and he continued to do even when he got that chance late on and stuff like that. So it was pretty funny. But yeah, what did you eat tonight, Martin?
I have been a bit naughty today, and I had a kebab. I had a doner and chicken tikka kebab with naan bread and some cheese chips on the side.
Is that homemade or is that shop bought?
No, shop bought. Didn't have time to cook tonight, and we got given some money as an engagement present. For listeners who don't know, I'm getting married in August. So, yeah.
Woo!
Even though we didn't ask for any engagement presents, we just got randomly given some money by one of my fiancé's relatives, just randomly sent us some money. So, we're not going to say no to it. So, we treated ourselves to a takeaway. Why not?
Yeah, lovely. Really nice.
How about you? What do you have?
Chicken fajitas, which I made, but doesn't sound as nice as having a takeaway, I'll be honest. So a little bit jealous there, but yeah, still decent. Were you too busy watching Rotherham? Is that why you couldn't cook tonight?
That's one of the reasons, actually, yeah. That is one of the reasons. So that's why I decided we'll get the takeaway tonight, since I don't have time to cook. I'm usually the one who cooks, so if I didn't have time, that'll do instead.
And did you enjoy Jesse Marsh? Why did I say Jesse Marsh? Delete this, editor. Please, I don't want that in the podcast. Did you enjoy Daniel Farke talking about cows' arses for some reason?
Yeah, I don't know where the hell that came from. That was random as hell. But the only thing I can think of, like you tweeted, is some sort of German poorly translated effort. But yeah, that was bizarre. Or he's just high on the magic of the FA Cup. It's one of the two things. Yeah, that was just very funny.
I guess we can talk about the FA Cup game. We'll talk about the game a tiny bit before we jump into the Rotherham chat. What did you make of it in the end? I was obviously a little bit annoyed that it had to go to extra time, you know, extra minutes in the legs for some players that didn't really need it. But I'm glad we got over the line in the end. And I am glad we won, even though I wasn't that fussed if we went out. But I am glad that we won because I'm now excited for the next round. What did you make of it?
Yeah, well, we definitely should have finished it off in normal time. And that's the biggest problem. But we also did get unlucky. Quite a lot of shots hitting the bar. Gelfart almost scored a goal. I mean, that hit the post. And I think, I can't remember who it was in the first half. Was it Joseph who hit the post? Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Joseph and Perot both hit the woodwork.
Yeah, exactly. So we got quite unlucky and we were very dominant in the game. It was just pretty much a carbon copy of the first leg. And we gave away a floppy goal against run play. Like, they had nothing in that half at all and they just took advantage of the one chance that they had. So fair play to them. But yeah, extra time was fun though. I did enjoy
Georgie.
Yeah, Georgie Rutter and Somerville running at tired legs. That just should not be allowed. They just could not cope at all. I felt sorry for Phillips, one of their players. He was doing well all game.
And I thought he was competing well. Yeah, and then no.
You can't compete against that. You can't. So yeah.
Yeah, I was actually like fairly happy with Anthony's performance. But I thought he was okay actually. Like a few moments where he got by his fullback and then either got a shot away or a pass away quite nicely and that was decent, but then Somerville just showed the levels. Like, it just made me realize like the difference in quality. And this isn't to say Anthony's a bad player. It's just Somerville's clearly like amazing at the moment, and even Routel was just brilliant when he came on as well. So yeah, it is annoying that you have to lean on those guys at the end of the game to get it done. But at least they did get some of a rest, and they're going to be more fresh for the game against Rotherham this weekend. And what do you make of Aston Villa or Chelsea? Who do you want to face?
Be easy with both, to be honest, because obviously we've got the rivalry with Chelsea, and we've also got a little rivalry with Villa, to be honest, because of Spygate, and we all know that Bamford likes to score past them, so that would be also a fun one. And Bamford's got the thing with Chelsea as well, so both teams, he'll be up to scoring against them, if he plays, that is, which I think he will, because it's a bit more of a bigger tie in it, but I think if I had to pick one, yeah, I'd probably say Villa. As much to do with the Bamford thing, and because Big John McKenzie is a bit of a United Emery fanboy, so it'd be quite.
Yeah, he's become a Bournemouth and Villa fan, hasn't he, in the Premier League?
Yeah, so it'd be quite amusing if we did Park and his genius tactics, as he's recently said in our group chat, get a win over Emery. That'd be funny.
Yeah, I think actually that's a bigger upset if we beat Villa. Yeah, definitely. In current sort of situation of both clubs, 100% at Villa Park as well. You know, it's obviously, that's a cliche to say, but it's a tough place to go. But I want Chelsea. Main reason being that they're one of our biggest rivals. But the other reason for me, on a personal level, is I'm in a like little friendship group of five Leeds fans, one Arsenal fan, and one Chelsea fan. So it's always good to get one over on the Arsenal and Chelsea fans, and it would be really good to see us win at Stamford Bridge, because I don't think we've ever done that in the time I've been supporting Leeds. Put in some good performances there, but never actually got a win. So I would like to see that. But yeah, let's hope it's a fun tie, whatever happens, and there's no injuries, because obviously the league is probably the most important thing. And if we do win it, we'll be in a quarterfinal, which is pretty exciting. I can't remember Leeds getting to that many quarterfinals in my lifetime as a Leeds fan. I'm sure some of our older listeners will, but I haven't had that luxury. And I do just want to quickly say, we might do a preview for this. We're not 100% sure yet, but we might do. We'll try and twist John's arm to come on, but I can't promise anything because he might not, but he'll have a little bit more insight into both of those clubs, I imagine. So we'll have to see. But yes, we'll dive into Rotherham, I guess, now. I don't think there's any other news other than Leeds United being absolutely brilliant. How many wins is that now in 2024? Is it 7 and a draw?
That was right.
I think that's amazing. Probably the best start this club's ever made to a year. And we play bottom of the league on 19 points, 12 points from safety at Rotherham United. So it would be great to get another win. I'm not going to sit here and say I expect it, but I probably do. But yeah, unfortunately, we don't have an opposition fan to speak to for this one. So it's just me and Martin today. But we'll dive straight into the analysis. Now, Martin, can you discuss some of the recent results and form? Has anything changed recently for Rotherham?
Well, yeah, they brought in a new coach in December, Liam Richardson, who spells his first name really strangely, L-E-A-M. That caught me by surprise when I was listening to a press conference with him. I thought he was going to be called Liam. But yes, here or there. But the recent results, they had a pretty bad run, four losses in a row, and then they had a win, a couple of draws, a loss, a draw, a loss. So one win in the last 10, and that was against Middlesbrough. So, and that, the total Football Manager result is that one. They have not 0.1 XG.
Yeah, I've just seen it.
And the Middlesbrough have 1.3, so real smash and grab. So they have those results in them against sides who are good on the ball. So that's maybe a little bit of a warning to us in itself. But most recently, they've lost against Southampton 2-0. Pretty resounding result. Although maybe Southampton didn't put up as much XG as you'd maybe expect, 1.5, which is a relatively average amount. Especially for a team who's in the top 2-3 against a team who are on by a significant margin. So it would be a bit difficult to break them down, I think.
So since we last played them, when we drew 1-1, which is a bit of a frustrating result, obviously, back in November, they've only won one game, should I say, in the league. Is that right? Yeah. And they are actually unbeaten against Middlesbrough, which is quite funny. They got a win and a draw against them in the last month or so. So that's pretty funny. Yeah, just talk to me a little bit more then about them. How do they set up in possession from what you've seen?
So earlier in the season, they were more of a 4-2-3-1 team. But since the new manager come in, they've been playing more of a 5 system, which is a bit at odds to what this manager has previously played. When he was managing at Wigan, he did mix it up and was using 4-2-3-1s and some back fives, but he's played every single fixture with back five. So I think he's just maybe trying to things up a bit more at the back and get more centre-backs into there, if not 2 points on the board. But I suppose they've got some pretty good results against Middlesbrough, Sunderland, then a draw against Middlesbrough. So who knows? It could be having some impact. But regardless of the way they look to attack and possess the ball, they are quite direct in the way they attack, at least from the back. They don't do too much passing out. I think possibly if a team was sitting back against them, maybe they would, but most teams will look to press them, and because they are pretty weak when they are pressed, so they will go direct. They've had someone who they can knock balls down from in Sam Nombe, who's a pretty big target man, and they've brought in Carly Wyke as well in the transfer window, and he's also another big lad front who has worked under Liam Richardson before. Richardson youth manager at Wigan, but he got sacked about 18 months ago, I think it was. But yeah, they're pretty direct when they get there, but they can knock the ball around, mainly for focusing around the side and getting across into the box. Nothing too special that I noticed. The wing backs like to get involved in the box when they get up in there, especially the right wing back, who in the game I watched was Dexley, who was a fantastic player, but he's now gone back to his parent club and went immediately on loan. I think you said earlier, was it Hearts or someone else like that?
Yeah, Phil Hayes Hearts, yes.
So yeah, so he was probably their most exciting player who I saw when I watched them, and he's gone now. So that's a bit of a conundrum for their new manager, I'm sure. But yeah, that's about all I could really say about them in possession. Wasn't really too much else to say. They didn't look very good in possession when I watched them.
Yeah, I'm a big believer that league tables do lie. I'm going to be honest, I've always thought that. They don't tell the full story, they don't really give all the context, but for any Leeds fans that look at the table and go, oh, Rotherham at bottom, they're not very good, are they? Yeah, you're right, they're not very good. Every time I've seen them since they've had Richardson and before that, they've not been very good on the ball at least. And as ever, when I sort of need to lean a little bit on other people's analysis, I know they're not the top 20 boys, we're basically saying they're as good as down. From their perspective, I think they were saying that Sheffield Wednesday, who were above them, would take a bit of a minor miracle to stay up now, and it would just be pretty remarkable at this point if Rotherham managed to get themselves out of it. I'm not trying to set us up for a defeat here, by the way, but I'm just saying that they are really bad in possession. Doesn't mean they have bad players everywhere, but they have, yeah, a lot of players that are not of the required level as well. So, yeah. And on that, I guess the next question is, how do they set up out of possession? From what you've seen, I think both of us agreed. Maybe a little bit higher than they were playing previously with Richardson now in charge, but still not the most solid team. They do concede a lot of chances and they are still getting caught out quite a bit at the back. So, yeah, you talked to me a bit about that.
So yeah, they're a little bit messier than in the previous fixture. They will get quite a few bodies into the opposition box. Their team is building out from the back. They will look to get probably about four, maybe five players in. Their wing backs do like to push up onto either a winger who's retreating to help in build up, or a fullback who's more advanced that will look to press up against them. And the press wasn't really that effective, at least in the game I watched, but it was against a team who can play out well through a press, which was against Middlesbrough. So the press shouldn't cause us too many issues. I think we should be able to play for it relatively well. And when they get back and when the team get right through that press, they do it quite deep. The wing backs will begin to be back five. And the only thing I noticed about the back five, sometimes one of their centre backs would push out onto midfielders just to give some support if there's a lot of men in the middle. So I think it was Adolphin who was doing it in the game I watched. So he would push out and just slightly mark one of the players. And he looks like a decent player, does Adolphin, but we'll get onto players a bit later on.
He scored against us, didn't he?
Yeah, it did indeed. So yeah, that's about everything I'd say about them. Session. Quite similar to the last game, maybe a little bit more less going on in certain phases.
Yeah, I think a little bit, not dramatically so, but a little less deep than they were. Then again, they're coming to Elland Road, so there's every possibility they actually sit deeper than they have recently. But important to note, maybe that one of the goals they conceded against Southampton in the previous game came from them having a slightly higher line, and Howard Bellis, who is a genuinely fantastic centre-back, especially on the ball, playing a ball, a quite direct pass over the top, they managed to get hold of, and Armstrong ended up putting it in. It was a pretty good move, actually, if you haven't seen it. So that's potentially something that might work. Ampadu's good at that type of pass. Might come on to that a bit later on, but I think that's something we might look to exploit because they do that occasionally. I think another thing with Middlesbrough, in and out of possession, like we've said, not the best, but they also struggle to pick up points against Middlesbrough, apparently, against most of the top half teams this season. They've really not done very well in that regard. And I mean, you need to pick up points wherever you can when you're down the bottom, but that is something that you need to try to do a little bit more and try to, you know, nick a draw here or there against some of the stronger sides. And they haven't managed to do that. The losses to Leicester and Southampton recently pretty much highlight that as well. So yeah, not the best. Well, yeah, I guess this brings us on nicely to players. Which players do we need to look out for? We have done this before. I'll start with a couple. I think in terms of good side of things, Victor Johansson, I have mentioned before, he is genuinely one of the best shot stoppers in this division as a goalkeeper, and they would be on about 10 points without him, probably. That's maybe an exaggeration, but they'd be a lot worse off without him. He does keep the scores down. He's very, very good. Yeah, if he was better with his feet, I think he'd be a goalkeeper that would probably be playing Premier League football pretty quickly. Still might, but yeah, he's brilliant. They have a few other good outlets. You've already mentioned Sam Nombe, who's quite a physical striker. He's also not the slowest either, so he's got decent speed. So keeps himself busy up front and is a bit of a handful. And then a few others, and they've added one in January that caught my eye a little bit. Andy Rinomota, who's kind of been around the block. He's actually from Leeds, but yeah, didn't come through our academy. Been at Reading, been at Cardiff. I think Stoke is where they signed him from, isn't it? He's just been around the Championship for a long time now. They've signed him on loan. Probably a decent signing, to be honest. He can play a couple of midfield roles, and he's a bit of a sort of break it up kind of player, and that'll help sweep in front of that back line. So, you know, there is some quality there, like we mentioned before, but not a right lot. Is there anyone else that you particularly like? I know we both like Lembekisa, but he's gone now, so having to do without him.
Yeah, the only other one who stood out was Adolphin. He looked the more composed out of their centre-backs, capable of carrying it out from the back a little bit. He's played in quite a number of positions for them. I'm not sure if he's actually a centre-back by trade, possibly a midfielder, but he has played a lot of positions for them, possibly due to injury problems that they've had this season. But he's definitely probably the more talented of their centre-backs. You've got forget the other guy's name who's in the middle of him. I've got it right down here. Morrison, he's another season championship defender. Who is got good qualities when it comes to standard EFL defending, good in the air, good at getting physical with strikers, but he will be quite slow. So that is definitely some target in their back line. I don't think they've got a massive amount of pace in their back line. That's one thing which I'll say is definitely should work well for us. Lee Peltier has been there right back on it sometimes, right at the back. At times this season, so he's also one who's knocking on, who Leeds fans know well. And he got in a bit of a kerfuffle with Somerville in the last game, if I remember correctly. That was quite fun. And the only other player who I noticed who was decent was one of the midfielders, Rathbone. Elite in possession. He looks pretty tidy. He is pretty good at evading pressure. But when it comes to out of possession, that's where he definitely lacked. I saw he got absolutely run by, I think it was, is it Morgan Whittaker, who's one of Middlesbrough strikers?
No, was it Morgan Rodgers?
Morgan Rodgers. I knew it was Morgan something. He got absolutely done by him, just totally turned the other way and just was left behind. So if we can get Rutter near him receiving the ball, then that will definitely lead to good things and making me very happy in the process.
Rodgers actually joined Villa, by the way, but yes. For quite a lot of money and they didn't replace him. But anyway, that's besides the point. There's a few others I maybe mention. I think we mentioned Cafu in the first podcast. A very interesting player who they've used in loads of different positions. He's mostly a central or holding midfielder, and for most of his career has played there. And then actually he put on some of the better, especially in the first half of the season, sort of progressive numbers for passes and carries, which is interesting. But then you see that he's played as a wing-back and a winger at times, or more of a wide midfielder, I guess, than an actual winger. But again, not quite a big physical, a busy player. Christ Chie here in the middle is similar. They've got a lot of players like that. I think Rathbone is probably the one with the most quality, but I'm not 100% sure if he's actually fit at the moment, is he? So he might not be involved. Loads of players. I think loads of people have heard of Hugill, and they've got a lot like that, kind of experienced championship players who maybe once were quite decent but are very much on the decline now at the wrong side of 30. Sam Klukas is another one. A lot of players like that. There's just not a lot of pace, I agree with you, not just in the back line but in the team in general. They lost Lemba Kiesa, but I think they lost someone else, but I can't remember his name now. It's really annoying me. A winger, really fast guy that we mentioned in the first game. He's gone now. He left in January as well. So they just don't have much speed at all throughout the team. And that could be a bit of a problem for them, unless they're trying to just make this as stodgy as possible and play for a point, which I think is probably the most likely thing. Do you want to talk to me a little bit about the predicted lineup then? You've already mentioned that they have mostly been playing a back four recently, a 5-4-1 or a 5-3-2. What are you expecting?
I think it's most likely to be a back five formation, either a 5-3-2 or 5-4-1, one of those two shape. But like I mentioned earlier, their manager has liked 4-2-3-1, and since got in some new players, especially one which is a midfielder, he may look to change that up. I don't think he'll change up against us. Puts him more likely against another team with a down division. I'd probably expect their lineup. The other regular player who I think is injured is Cohen Bramall, who's been their left wing back, or left back, depending on what shape they've been playing. Ryden, he is still injured. I'd imagine the lineup will most likely be Chioso, right wing back, Adolphin, Morrison, and Peltier, centre back, Revan at left wing back, Lindsay, Tahey, Clippers, Kinsu at the midfield four, then Hugill up front, and possibly they could put Nambe in there to go for a 5-3-2 and drop one of those four out.
I think I agree, and I think it's more likely to be a five. I think just looking at the upcoming fixtures for them, they've got quite a lot of, but basically by March the 16th, which I know is not like super near, but it's not super far either. They play all of, where is it? I've lost it now. QPR, Sheffield Wednesday and Huddersfield. So you'd think that those are probably the three games to really have a go, and everything else in the meantime, they might just need to like try and pick up as many just points here and there as possible in terms of get a draw at Leeds, and that's an excellent result for them, isn't it? Being realistic. I think it probably will be a back five that they'll try and stodge up, and I think you're pretty much spot on. And I think what more likely to happen is if they do go a goal or two behind and they have to chase the game, that's when they might go to either a 4-2-3-1 and change completely, or two strikers at least up front, so they have a couple of outlets in a 5-3-2. I think I completely agree with the team that you put out. And yeah, they do have quite a few injuries, more so than us, which is pretty good. Before Toldo holds a gun to my head, I better talk about the Patreon. Before we move on to the lead section of the analysis, I'm just going to have a quick ad break here to tell you more about it. Don't worry to any of our patrons, you don't have to hear this bit, so you can skip over it. Anyway, yes, Patreon is a media platform where you can support content creators you enjoy and get extra content in return. Our patrons get access for as little as $1.99 per month, which gives you ad-free podcasts. And if you want to pay a little bit more, you get other benefits, including early access to some of our preview pods, such as this one, and analysis articles, videos, and bonus podcasts. Recently, we've done a bonus pod on all-time Leeds five-a-side, which was great fun, wasn't it, Martin?
Yes, it was indeed. Really enjoyed just doing that pod. Even like I've already mentioned, my team wasn't very good. But I did get at least one vote on the vote which we put. So
you got a couple?
Yeah, a couple now. I wasn't sure if it was one or two, but a couple of people. Probably just pity votes, to be honest. But
yeah, favouritism.
Maybe Jacob thought it was me probably because he did like a few of the players which I put in my team. So
whereas I just picked a load of snakes, which you'll have to go and listen in to understand what I mean by that. But yes, it was a really fun thing. And then Martin, you've also written an article on Conor Roberts. Is that now finished and out to the world? Or is it very soon?
It's already out. It was released on Monday or Tuesday this week.
Lovely. I missed that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed watching Roberts. He pleasantly surprised me in how good he was. I don't want to give away too much. Read the article. It's not a very long one. It shouldn't take you longer than 10 minutes, but it gives you really what he's good at and what we can expect to see from him. Obviously, we'll see that at the weekend and what he will give to us, but we'll talk about that in the lead section.
Absolutely. And if you want to sign up, what is the address?
It's patreon.com/ASAW.
That's it.
So please do head on over. It helps us out and we can do more opposition analysis and things like that. So it'd be very good if you could do that. Anyway, we'll get back into the analysis of Leeds now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Are there any injuries besides the Stuart Dallases of the world and Pascal Strokes that we know about? Anything else new that's added to the table or that's going to be out for this game, at least?
Games, potentially, he's still injured. I can't remember what Farke had last said about him.
He said a couple of weeks. I think maybe this game he might be out for as well. Maybe the next one too, but then he might be back.
So James is most likely out and maybe picked up an injury in the cup game. But he hasn't mentioned it's a possible possibility, but nothing confirmed yet. I'm sure we'll find out in the presser tomorrow, I think. So that's about all I can think of. He did mention that he was limiting recently, which makes sense. We didn't want to play at all in that game, to be honest, but we had to. On high match load, but I think he most likely will still be okay to play.
Yeah, I mean, he rested Ampadu, which is good. First time this season Ampadu didn't start a game, and there was a bit of talk about this in our group chat. You know, professional footballers should just be able to play every single game, but that's not really the reality in my opinion. I think you have a squad, you should use it, and I think you should rotate a little bit here and there, and maybe not all the time, and you don't always have to like necessarily drop a player completely. You can just sub them off a little bit more. Than Ampadu's just not had that this season. He's been subbed off, I think, once or twice in the entire season. And obviously then he didn't play at all against Plymouth. So he'll probably be our freshest player, and I'm expecting a man of the match performance now. But yes, I think that is everyone. I don't think there is anyone new. Obviously, we're recording this on Wednesday, for anyone listening, Wednesday night. And there might be something new that comes out tomorrow. So I'm sorry if there is. But how do you expect us to approach the game in possession? Do you expect anything different from the reverse fixture or any of our last games recently? Not maybe including Rotherham, that was the FA Cup, but possibly the game before that against Bristol City.
I don't think there'll be anything different. We'll still look to possess the ball and we'll still look to attack in transition when Rotherham do get forward, which won't be very, I think we will probably possess the ball quite a lot in this one, and I think he'll will just play regularly and just try to go from there. And I think it's the same even out. There won't be too many opportunities for us to press Rotherham, and because they will go direct more often than not. So we won't see too much stress, but when there is opportunity to press, we will definitely play some.
Yeah, I do think that their defenders in general have a bit of a problem, apart from maybe a Dolphin, as you say, because he is more of a midfielder, but the other guys, not the most press resistant, probably do have more of a tendency to go long. So it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if we could try and catch them out in that way, try and press them. But it's not going to happen too often, because I do think they'll just boot it if they have to and go direct to the wide midfielders or wing backs or the striker up front to try and hold it up. And yeah, there might be a little bit of a battle there actually with Rodon and whoever he's up against, but we'll see. Yeah, I think I agree. I don't think too much is going to change. I think that the game in the reverse fixture was a little bit frustrating at times. And, you know, we did create enough probably to win the game. But if I remember rightly, it was just a little bit annoying. And it became like when they got the goal back and it was 1-1, and then they just sat deep and kind of got deeper and deeper and just made it really stodgy and hard to break down. But I guess we'll see. I don't know how much they're going to like be as sort of high line and proactive, even though we've talked about the possibility of that happening. This is a game at Elland Road. I do think they're going to just try and soak us up as much as possible, and that's going to just be difficult for us, and we might want to try and bait them on, but they might not want to do it, so we'll see. Yes, anyway, is there a player or any players you can see having a big impact on the outcome of this game from a Leeds perspective? Bad or good? I've mentioned Ampadu's longer range passing. If they do step out at all, I think that could definitely catch them out, because they don't have a lot of recovery pace. If he can play one of those loopy balls. But is there anyone else you wanted to mention?
I think Joe Roden, especially, to get a target man up there in some games. So if it's Sam Nombe or if it's Charlie Wyke, who makes his debut for them, he'll have a physical battle on his hands. I would back him to win that battle, because that's something that he does very well. He's very good in the air, so I think he's a battle, but that is definitely an important bat for us. If we can stop them from getting those second balls, or even slipping the first ball, even if it's aerial one, get us back attacking, that's going to be very important. And obviously going forward, all of our attackers, especially the three behind Bamford, are most important. Obviously Bamford too. All the attackers would want to get a goal early, and that's a bit later on about when the game will be won or lost.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and I think some of the obvious ones that at least had a bit more of a rest in midweek against Plymouth are the, some of the forwards. That doesn't just include Bamford, but yeah, Routier, Somerville, nice and fresh for the most part. They only had to play, I don't know, what, 45, 50 minutes in total in that game, so not too bad. A lot better than having to play a full 90 or even a full 120 for some of the players, so that's probably a good thing. Just hope that they're fresh enough, some of the other guys. I was very much of the opinion that I didn't want someone like Roden to play pretty much at all, because I just wanted to save him, given some of the issues we've had at centre-back and Fark's sort of willingness, or unwillingness, should I say, to play Charlie Cresswell. So, yeah, I wanted to see him rested, but hopefully he is fresh, because, as you say, he's going to have a big impact on this game against whoever plays up front for them, not just Hugill, Wyke, Nombe. There's a number there, and it could even be that they have two up front, and he's got his hands full a little bit when they do go long. But I do expect him to win those balls, so that'll be good. Yeah, I think that's everyone. I don't think there's enough threats from them that I'm too worried about other positions in other areas. There's, like I said, they don't have as much pace as they used to. I think it's Onyedinma, that's the guy I was thinking of, that rings a bell now. Yeah, he's not there anymore, so there's not as much pace without him and Lembekisa, and so I don't think our fullbacks are going to have as much of an issue in that regard. If they ever do have the chance to counter-attack, I think they'll probably be mostly fine, other than the fact that Verpo played a lot of minutes on Tuesday. So yeah, do we want to talk a little bit about the predicted lineup then? I guess this gives us an opportunity to speak about Roberts a little bit more, and the possibility that he might come into the team in some way. I would expect him to come in some regard, whether that's from the bench. But do you think he's got a chance of starting?
I definitely think there is a chance, especially considering Firpo played 120 minutes. And did Byram, or did he get subbed off? I can't remember.
He did get subbed off at some point late on. I can't remember the exact minute, but he did get subbed off.
Yeah, but he still played a lot of minutes. So both of them have played a lot of minutes. And obviously, Archie Gray didn't play much. But he will most likely be playing one of the fullback spots. I might imagine the medical team would be very happy if Serpo or Byron played many more minutes this week. If to go on what line, I think will probably be, I think it'll most likely be Melier in goal. I think it'll be Ray at right back, Roden and Ampadu at centre back, and actually throw out back. It's most like it's me. I have a left back. I know Leeds fans are like, we've got a right back. Play him at left back, of course. Why not the sign a left back? But Leeds United do not do those things. So it's a sensible thing that Leeds can't do.
Don't be sensible. Yeah, shut up.
But yeah, so that'll be the back line, I think. Then in midfield, it'll be Groove and Tamara. And then up front, it'll be Somerville, unless he has got a knock. If he doesn't have a knock, maybe I'm not quite sure what will happen then. Potentially Anthony, who will come in. Outside chance, Matteo Joseph, he had played on the wing early in the season. So that's also another possibility. And I think in pre-season, he had a few appearances. He was definitely best as a centre forward, as we saw in the game, in the cup. He was very good in that game. And I would like to see more minutes from him, please. And then there's also another outside chance of Joe Gilhart, because he had a pretty good cameo, I felt, when he came in the cup. I'm not sure what you saw about his appearance.
Yeah, I think this is a good opportunity. Actually, we probably should have spoken about this when we talk about the FA Cup, but a few of those players you've just named, Gilhart being one. I think some of us on Allstats Home, we have been saying for a while that we see his best role as at least one of the two sort of out of three in the line behind the striker, so either as a sort of attacking midfielder or second striker type in the middle, or as a sort of a right-sided forward and cutting in. He doesn't have the most pace in the world, but Gelhardt's best work comes when he's moving from sort of the outside inside and he's able to drive into the box. You don't really want him receiving back to goal or in the box in tight spaces there. I think you'd rather see him receive in sort of a tight space with a fullback. And then, you know, turn him inside out. He doesn't have to be the quickest to do that. He's good at it. And I think he probably had his best display in, like, all season against Plymouth, I would say, but also probably for a good, like, year and a half in a Leeds shirt, which is really, really good to see. I'm not saying he's going to come and contribute, but I think I did say, actually, before Bristol City that I would like to see Gelhart given a chance at some point. And, yeah, it's good to see that he kind of took it a little bit and he did have a decent performance. Annoying that he didn't score at the end, but it's not his fault. It was a good shot and should have killed a cow. And then Matteo Joseph, you've mentioned, I think he's put himself in slightly stronger contention just to gain minutes here and there. And I think, again, a lot of us at Allstats, aren't we, have said, you're included in this, in terms of profiles similar to Bamford, he's probably the closest. I think a lot of us hoped that Perrault might be able to do some of that stuff. He basically improved, but he's not the best at it. And Joseph is probably the best player in the squad outside of Bamford at playing as a sort of more line-leading number nine, bit better back to goal and linking play. And I was really happy with quite a few of his actions against Plymouth, to be honest. I don't know what you felt about him.
The things that you want your centre forward to do, he was just that. I think the Plymouth centre backs hated him that game. There was one moment, I forget which one of their centre backs it was, possibly Phillips, who just literally just put two hands on him at one point and touched him away, and he tripped into it. He could really see that he had a bit between his teeth and really wanted to impact the game positively and put himself in good stead. And he really did take them, even though he didn't score, he took the most of his opportunity and he nearly scored a good shot, which hit the post, which I think the goalkeeper got a touch on, but they gave it as a goal kick anyway, but that's the point. But yeah, I think he's definitely the one who's closest in profile to Bamford. And I think it beat quite a lot, say that in the previous, in the first leg, Perrault started up front, didn't he? And then in this game, Joseph starts up front and he was behind him. So for anyone who is still banging on the drum that Perrault is the nine, shut up. Please. Joseph is better at leading the line than what Perrault is. Perrault is a good player and I don't want anyone to think that I don't like him, but he's not. He's not.
Yeah, I was pretty happy. I think he did take his chance, like you say. There's a lot of good things to talk about with him, and I think the fact that they've handed him a new contract is a big show of confidence in his abilities. And obviously, I think if we go up, there's probably a chance he needs a loan, but if we don't, then he's probably someone that we can actually lean on a little bit more next season and continue to just develop him. But I still would, if we had to this season, for the rest of the season, I would still do it if we had to, because I trust him to play at least as well as he did the other night, and he'll score some goals if he does that, I think, as well. Yeah, he had a couple of moments, didn't he? Especially the one that hit the bar. So happy for him, and I don't expect him to play here. So while we're talking about Pritchard's lineup, I'm not saying that he'll play, but at least him and Gelhart have made themselves better bench options, I guess, than maybe some fans perceived, which is really nice to see. What's the other thing? Yes, Connor Roberts. I want to talk about him as well a little bit. I'm not going to spoil your article because I don't I want people to listen to that. But I do think he is a player that could play left back, and I think some league fans might be surprised that he might do that. I agree with you. I was actually going to say this as well. I was literally going to say it. Yeah, I think he's capable. I think inside or playing as a high and wide player, I think he could do both roles. Of our fullback pairing, I would not be shocked to see him do it at left back if we needed him to. Bit like Byron, he could probably do that both side stuff, and it's probably quite good to have those two because they both can do it, and there is a chance I think that he could start. I'm not saying it's super likely. I still think that one of the other two, Firpo or Byron, might start at left back, but I wouldn't be shocked if Roberts came on. He was used at left back in this game. Does that mean I think he'll be used there for the rest of the season? No. I still think at some point in the next, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 weeks, he will become our starting right back when he's a bit more acclimatized. But I still think he'll adapt quickly. We've talked about this, the fact that there's guys around him that he knows well from the Welsh national team and things like that. It's going to really help. But I think I agree with your lineup, actually, other than maybe Roberts for one of Firpo or Byron. But I'm not 100% sure about left back. Whereas Ampadu, Roden, Gray, I think they're pretty locked in the defence at the moment. And another shout out to another player that was brilliant the other night, Ilya Gruev. He was really, really good. He rightly got man of the match and should continue to play there. And I guess the good thing about this is we don't have to rush Pascal Strout back. I would put him in if he's at 100%, but if he's at 90% and we don't want to risk him, we don't have to now because we've got options there and the midfielders and defenders are playing well. I think the only negative in all of this is that the four midfielders that we've got, which seems to be our best area, but they all play at the same time at the moment. Not a single one of them's on the bench that we can sort of rotate in or out. It's Gray is at right back and Ampadu's at centre back and Gruev and Kamara are in the middle. So all four of them are playing, but when we can drop, or if we can drop one of them to the bench, then suddenly it looks even better in a way because you've got that extra security on the bench that you could bring on for a bit more energy or whatever late on and still have that quality. So very happy with that sort of area of the team at the moment. But yeah, if Nonto's fit, the three behind Bamford and Bamford will sort of all stay the same. I guess, yeah, all that's left me to ask about now is what do you expect this game of football will look like?
So I'd expect it to look like one team possessing the ball a lot, that'd be us, and the other team, Rotherham, just looking to hit us quickly in transition, try to get the ball directly forward to one of the target men, get it down to one of the midfielders, get it to the wing, and put in a cross for that same target man. That's going to be the main going to have, and set pieces, of course. They also do enjoy the odd long throw-in with Morrison, who obviously is former... If he's been across the EFL for a long time, he quality knows how to throw the ball long. Just like Rafinha, hey? But yeah, it'll be buried on our side. I expect it to be congested, but they'll have a lot of players in there, and it'll be tough. We have done well at scoring early goals in the first month, so I think we should be seeing a goal relatively in this game, hopefully for us. And That's just all I can say, really, at this point. It's pretty similar to the previous game, really.
Yeah. On what you said about one team dominating the ball, against Plymouth, we had, I think it was either 80 or 83% possession, sorry, in the second half, which is remarkable.
Do you know that's the most possession you can have in a game?
Might look very much the same here, with us just pinning them in. That's wild, isn't it? Not possible. Is that Farker's quote you're quoting? Yeah,
it is. You can have 83% possession. Out of 84 or 85, you can't.
He's not far off in the sense that the ball will just go out enough times that the other team get the ball, but I still think you can have a bit more than that. You probably still get to about like 88-89. It's probably possible, but yeah,
it is indeed. And yeah, another quote from Fark, which was great. It's one thing I do like him for.
That is probably how I expect the game to look. Us just sort of having to be patient against their bank of five and bank of four if they do play the 5-4-1, which I'm expecting them to. And then, yeah, I guess the last question you kind of touched on there is, where will the game be won or lost? I think for us, it is about if we score early. I genuinely could see us scoring and winning the game quite comfortably if we score within the first sort of 15, 20 minutes. I think it could become a 3-4-5-0 type game if we do that. But if we don't, it can just become increasingly difficult and it might be quite frustrating, heading towards sort of 70, 80 minutes onwards if the scores are level. And wouldn't be shocked if Rotherham managed to do that because it's just very Leeds, isn't it? And also quite important to point out, by the way, we're unbeaten at Elland Road. I think I said this to you and Hosty the other day. Yeah. So it just does feel a bit Leedsy. Just to maybe only lose one game at home all season, it happens to be Rotherham at the bottom of the league. That would be very Leeds, wouldn't it?
To a Jordan Hugill goal.
Yes. Probably, we didn't even mention set pieces, but they're probably going to play for that a lot. And again, I guess that ties in with the way the game will be won or lost, that if they have chances to do long throws or corners or free kicks anywhere near our box at all, they'll just launch it in, I think, and hopefully get something scrappy. Plymouth did the other night, so why couldn't Rotherham? And if they get one goal, they give themselves a chance. So yeah, I think that's probably for them their best sort of way of dealing with us and trying to get something from the game. So yeah, where will the game be won or lost? I guess if we can take a chance early on and if we can keep them out from when they do have set pieces like that. What about yourself?
Pretty much same. It's so important for us to get that first goal. If we can do that, then we can hopefully ride through the game. Said that, but we have had some games where we have gone 1-0 up and then we didn't slow the game down. I know I've said that last review pod that I wasn't too worried about that, and that is still the case. I think the recent ones against Plymouth, few games in a row where we've ended 90 minutes at 1-1. I think that's just cup magic play. In league, we've been very good at doing that and keeping hold of the game and not giving away chances. So let's just hope it doesn't end up with another FM-type scoreline.
Yeah, they've done it to Middlesbrough, so who knows. But I think that brings the end of the pod to a close. So just a quick reminder, the website for our Patreon is patreon.com/ASAW Patreon. Please do head on over and have a look. If you are interested in our content or enjoy our content, it does help us out a lot. But we'll be back with a review of this game very soon. And who is after that, Martin?
Swansea.
It is indeed. Oh, yes. That's an interesting one. Especially with some ties with this podcast to Swansea's manager. But we'll come on to that another time. All that's left for me to say is thank you very much, Martin.
And thank you as well, Piero Sexo Adam.
Thank you, dear listener. Enjoy the game. Goodbye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.